And if you're marking your hymn books, mark it at number 293, Victory in Jesus. One of the reasons I selected that song was because that one line in the second verse that says, "In Christ we have redemption found." I want to talk about what it means to be in Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about it. So, it's a Bible study. That's what we're going to do in this sermon time today, in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I want to focus your attention on Ephesians chapter 1 for just a moment. If you have your Bibles open, that would be helpful. But open to Ephesians chapter 1. We see that verse that I just read. Verse 4 says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him." I know I'm not the only one who's done this, but if you go through the first chapter of Ephesians and underline or highlight, every time it says "in Him," in Christ, in the Beloved, it's a lot. This is talking about the spiritual blessings that come in Christ. And who chooses whether or not you're in Christ? Is that chosen beforehand? You know, Calvinists teach that God has a list of those who are saved and those who are lost from before the beginning of time. And that you don't really have any choice in life. That you're either on the saved list or the lost list. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we choose whether we're in Christ or not. Verse 4, I just read verse 5, "He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved." So, what's predestined? Salvation is not predestined. What's predestined in this verse is that those who are in Christ are predestined to adoption as sons. You're adopted by God as a son if you're in Christ. Who chooses whether you're in Christ? Does He choose or do you choose? You choose. I choose. We choose whether or not we're going to be in Christ. And that puts you in an adoption, into the adoption of Christ, or as a son of God. In verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood." In who? In Christ. It's all in Christ. In the Beloved, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. All things in the heavens and all things on the earth, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." These are all blessings that come in Christ. And what I want to talk about this morning is that to be in Christ is to be in a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, where all spiritual blessings are found. Well, today's the first day of a new year. Many of us go through and we count our blessings. We count our physical blessings. We count on the material blessings that God's blessed us with. Food and shelter and clothing. Those are the three biggies that we talk about. You know, we know that we're blessed. We're all breathing. We're all fed and clothed. We have shelter from the rain that we had last night. I don't know if anybody slept in the rain. I kind of doubt it. Anybody here today slept in the rain? We can easily count our physical material blessings because those are so abundant in our lives. But the spiritual blessings, we have to give that some thought because that's where we know salvation is one of them. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Those who are in Christ have redemption. We already read about it in Ephesians chapter 1. But it's also in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. We find that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is one of those words that you have to kind of think about for a minute. What does it mean to be redeemed? Some of the older folks here, including myself, remember S&H green stamps, blue chip stamps. And used to have stamps that you'd get when you go to the store. They give you stamps. You could save up those, put them into a book. They had stickers, sticky stuff on the back. You'd stick them into a book. You could take that book full of stamps down to the redemption center. You could redeem those stamps for whatever, you know, a box of glasses or dishes or whatever they had. They had different things that you could redeem it for. The idea is you're buying something back. You invested that money and you're buying it back. What's been invested in us is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was invested to buy us back. See, we're not born sinners. We're born innocent. And we can become sinners when we choose to sin. Contrary to what Calvinistic teaching says, that you're born a sinner. No, nobody's born a sinner. If you were born a sinner, there would be no redemption because you would never have been in God. You've never been with God. We're born godly, innocent. And when we choose to sin, then we need redemption. Then we need to be brought back to God. And God provided that through His Son. And that is the redemption that we have in Christ. In Christ, we have eternal life. We find out also there in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ, Jesus our Lord. Where is eternal life? It's in Christ. Where is redemption? It's in Christ. Those who are in Christ have no condemnation. Nobody who's in Christ will be condemned. Nobody who's in Christ is going to hell. We find out in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's what we had before, was the law of sin and death. Sinners have nothing to look forward to. There is no hope because there's condemnation. You're going to be condemned if you're living in sin. But if you're living in Christ, there's no fear of condemnation because you're in Christ. How do we stay in Christ? That's the key. Those who are in Christ have the love of God. Now we find there in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where do we find the love of God? In Christ. We must remember when we see this verse that all of those are physical things. Death and life and angels and principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. But you know what can separate you from the love of God? You. God hates sin. And God hates the lips that utter lies. Are your lips uttering lies? Are my lips uttering lies? Well, if they are, then we are of those who are not in the love of God because we're not in Christ. The love of God is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. The membership in God's family is found in Christ. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Romans 12, 4 and 5. If you want to be a member of the body of Christ, which is His church, if you want to be in Christ, that's a decision that you make. That's not made for you. That's a decision you make, a decision I make. Those who are in Christ have membership in God's family. Those who are in Christ have hope. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, says, to that end, we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. The hope that we have in Christ is the hope of heaven. I was thinking about this over the past week. It's one of those sad things that I don't like to think about, but I do because family came. We had family come for the holidays. We had family with us for over a week, and they're not believers. They're not believers. They have one hope, and that one hope is that the Bible is false. That's their one hope. They're going to live their life, of course, as long as we draw a breath, We can change. That's what life is all about. It's the ability to change. God gave us time. He's patient with us. He gives us time to be able to change. But unless they change their minds, they only have one hope until their last breath, and that is that the Bible's false. That's their hope. Because if the Bible's true, they have no hope at all. But we who believe what the Bible says, our hope is in Christ. Our hope is, if the Bible is true and we're obedient to the Word, our hope is in heaven forever, forever, forever. Forever lasts forever. There is no end to the joy in heaven. That's our hope. And that hope is only found in Christ, that we choose whether we want to be in Christ or not. Those who are in Christ have triumph or victory. Two verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place." The knowledge of Him is spread by us. The sweet aroma is us talking to people. The sweet aroma is us living a godly life in front of people and having them ask, "What is it about you? What makes you tick? How come you're always so joyful? How come you're always so happy about everything? How come you don't respond when people persecute you and revile you and mock you because of your religion?" Well, because there's victory in Christ. The triumph is in Christ. I know the reason I can have joy in my life, even in the midst of persecution, is because I know how this ends. I read the book. The book tells you how it ends. Those who are in Christ go to heaven forevermore. That's how it ends. And I know that if I make the choice to be in Christ, that's my hope, is the triumph and the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice both of these verses start with "thanks be to God." When we give thanks, whether it's when you kneel down before you go to bed at night, when you sit down to eat a meal, or whatever your normal habits are for praying, we need to be given thanks for the victory in Christ. Give thanks for the triumph that God has given us in Christ. These are things we should be thankful for. Those who are in Christ have a new creation. This is what I used to teach the Bible class in the back. I used to call this the butterfly verse. You'll see why. "Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." You know what a butterfly looks like before it flies. It's a worm. Called a caterpillar. Caterpillar lives one life, and then it goes into the cocoon. It comes out of the cocoon and flies away. Butterfly. It's a new creature. Well, the cocoon for us is baptism. The cocoon. We go in as an old creature. We come up as a new creature. That's being in Christ. We come out as a new creation. Those who are in Christ have reconciliation with God. Reconciliation. What exactly is that? To be reconciled. Come back together. It's a lot like redemption. Redemption is being paid for. Reconciliation is being brought back together. All these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. The gospel is the word of reconciliation. If you believe and obey the gospel, you will be reconciled to God. That's the way it works. To be brought back to God, only through Christ. John 14:6. We talked about that this morning in class. John 14:6. Jesus, the master teacher, boils everything down so easily, easy to understand. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's a pretty narrow door. When people say, "You're so narrow-minded," you say, "Thank you." Don't get offended. Thank you. Yes, I'm narrow-minded. It's a one-way ticket. There's a one-way path to Christ, to God. The only way to God is through Christ. It's a one, and when I say single file, we're all following Him. I'm not following you. You're not following me. We're following Him through this. We follow God through Christ, who is revealed on the pages of our New Testament. Reconciliation with God is in Christ. Those who are in Christ have liberty, freedom. Galatians chapter 2 verse 4 says, but it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. Well, if you want to further understand this verse, take a look at John chapter 8. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 8 and look at verse 31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then are you truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered to him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Stop just for a second. What they said to him is a lie. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. If you know the history of Israel, they began as an enslaved country, an enslaved nation. They became a nation while they were enslaved to Egypt. And now, this many years later, they've come back, they've got the promised land, and then the northern 10 tribes were carried away into Assyrian bondage. The Assyrians owned them as slaves. And then the southern two tribes were carried away into Babylonian slave bondage. So they were enslaved to Babylon. What happened after that? In the course of history, the Medes and the Persians took over Babylon. Then they became slaves of the Medes and the Persians. After that, it was Greece. They were slaves of Greece. So, and after Greece was taken over by Rome, now they're under the thumb of Rome. Abraham's descendants are still serving somebody. Now they're serving Rome. So they're lying when they tell Jesus, we've never been enslaved to anyone. They've been slaves their entire lives. Their entire history of their nation has been slavery. And Jesus says in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Liberty. Freedom is in Christ. Christ sets us free, not from the bondage of, you know, the nations. It sets us free from the bondage of sin. Jesus told us, sin is slavery. If you're sinning, you're a slave to your sin. You are serving your sin. Christ sets us free from that bondage. Liberty and the freedom. That's what comes in Christ. Those who are in Christ have purpose. Purpose in life. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. That's not hard to understand. We were created in the image of God, and those who are in Christ were created for good works. Who's in Christ? You're not born in Christ. Well, you're born of God. You're born innocent, yes. But once you decide to sin and you need to be redeemed and you're brought back to Christ, those who are in Christ, God tells us how to live. And that's for good works. We are created in Christ for good works, that we should walk in them. Now, are they good works that we think of? No. In fact, run over there to Ephesians 2 real quick and read that in context. Mickey always pounds that we should always read context, context, context. But Ephesians chapter 2, we hear 8 and 9 quoted quite a bit when we're talking to different people in different religions. They'll say, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, that no one may boast. That's true. No one can work your way into heaven. But then read verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. What works should we be walking in? His good works, not ours. I don't think, well, this would be a good thing to do. God will love it. God will love it when He sees what I'm doing. No, we need to put our nose in the book and say, what does God want us to do? And do those things. Those who are in Christ have nearness to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You want to be close to God? Be in Christ. That's a decision you make. It's a decision I make. We want to be close, near to God. Those who are in Christ have forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Those who are not in Christ are not forgiven. Those who are in Christ are forgiven. And you know, we're all sinners. We know, Scripture tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Once you choose to sin, you are a sinner. And we're all, I don't see any babies here. I don't see any little children here. We're all sinners. And the only thing that keeps us on track is to be forgiven of those sins. And the only way to get forgiveness is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not forgiven. Those who are in Christ have encouragement. So as we walk our daily life, we have encouragement. Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." Philippians 2, 1 and 2. We have encouragement in Christ. Those who are in Christ have righteousness. Also in Philippians 3, 8 and 9, Paul writes, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." The companion verse for all of these is John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me," in Christ. If you're in Christ, you'll get to the Father. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to the Father. Righteousness is where we find that, in Christ. Those who are in Christ have grace. 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." It was God's plan from the beginning of time, from before he created the earth. He knew he was going to create man. Man was going to sin against him. And he planned to give his only begotten son to die on the cross to take away our sins. That was God's plan from the very beginning. And it's because of his grace. Grace is defined as unmerited favor. Did you deserve to be saved? No, you can't work your way into heaven. By the grace of God, we're saved, those of us in Christ. Those of us in Christ have salvation from sin. 2 Timothy 2:10, "For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who were chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." Salvation from sin is found in Christ. There's the list. We just went through it. I wanted to have it on one page on your chart, so you have it. If you got the handouts, you can cut that piece out and stick it on one of the pages of your Bible. You got a list. This, when you talk about the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, manifold. There's a lot of them. These are all the things that are found in Christ. The real question is, are you found in Christ? Am I found in Christ? Again, we decide. That's not decided from eternity, like is taught by a lot. A lot of people teach that. Those in Christ have heard the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 and 15, "It was for this he called you through our gospel, so that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." This is written by an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's telling you, he called you through our gospel. He, God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, called you through our gospel. That's the gospel that was revealed to the apostles to reveal to us. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls." We must hear the word of God in order to be saved, and we must believe. Not just hear it, but we must believe it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What's Jesus saying? Believe that I am He, that I am who? Who He claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. Unless you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will die in your sins. That's what He said. Those in Christ have repented of sins. Jesus said, likewise, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. This is Paul talking to the Athenians on Mars Hill. He said, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. We have proof. God provided proof that there will be a judgment day. And that proof was that He raised His Son from the dead. Those in Christ have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Romans 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. You confess the name of the Lord, just as Jesus told us in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. This is one of those, which side am I on, verses. Am I one of those who confesses his name before men? Or am I one of those people who denies him? And if you're not confessing him, you're denying. It's one or the other. If you're not for him, you're against him. If you're not against him, you're for him. It's one or the other. We choose. We're not born this way. We make a decision in our lives as to whether we're going to confess his name before men. And those in Christ have been baptized into Christ. For all of you, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. These two verses are the two verses that you find in Scripture that tell how to get into Christ. We've just talked for an entire lesson about being in Christ. These two verses tell you how to get in Christ. You're baptized into Christ. Both verses say baptized into Christ. And the passage in Romans tells us what that means. If you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. That's where you come in contact with the blood of Christ, is in baptism, in the waters of baptism. You're buried with him. That means you're plunged into the water, and you're raised on the other side. When they bring you up out of the water, you're walking a new life. That's what baptism is. It's the new birth. Baptized for forgiveness of sins. I was having a conversation a week ago with somebody who said they weren't baptized for forgiveness of sins. They were baptized to join a church. And they were a baby when it was done, and it wasn't really baptism. It was sprinkling on the head. If they sprinkle water on your head, that's not baptism. If they pour water over your head, that's not baptism either. Baptism means dip. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip or to plunge. If you haven't been plunged under the water, you can't be raised to walk a new life. And the purpose, the reason we're baptized, is for the forgiveness of sins. That's what was preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said these words, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. This is the verse you just can't argue with. If you argue with this verse, you're arguing with Jesus. I had this conversation, and Carolyn knows, she was there. We were talking to a friend of ours, who's Baptist, a friend of ours, and he was telling us that baptism has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. And we had our Bibles open, and I said, read this verse. And he read it out loud. He said, he who has believed has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And I said, are you telling me that what this should say is he who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has Are you telling me that what this says is he who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, and he who has believed and has not been baptized shall also be saved? And he said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're just denying what Jesus said. Well, he didn't see it that way, and I don't know why. And, well, he's blinded his eyes to the truth. That's the only way to look at it. That's not it. When we're baptized, our ticket's not punched. We have to remain obedient to God. That's what the Scripture tells us. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Is it the will of the Father that you remain faithful? Well, yeah. Revelation 2, verse 10. Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. What if you're not faithful until death? What if you're faithful until you're 20? What if you're faithful until you're 30? What if you're faithful until you're 40 or 50? What if you're faithful until the day before you die? But then you're not faithful. Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. We can only assume that that's true. Jesus didn't lie. He's telling us the truth. We find out in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, that you can fall away. You can be a Christian and be saved and stop being a Christian and stop being saved. He said, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It's possible. It tells us right there it's possible. In several other places, I just put that one down so we can see it. God's plan of salvation is that we need to hear the word, believe the gospel. We need to repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We need to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and we need to remain obedient for the rest of our lives. That's the lesson. If there's anybody present this morning who has not obeyed the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you want to be saved and you want to be in Christ, there's only one way in. You're baptized into Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we have a pool of water right behind this screen back here. We can baptize you into Christ this morning. If you have done that, but you haven't been faithful, you might need the prayers of your brethren to help you get back on track. If you would like the prayers of your brethren to, we can pray with you and for you, that you might get back on the right track and be back in Christ, then now's a good time to come forward and let that be known as we stand and as we sing.